This is Dairy Radio Now.
It's time for our Feed Forum Friday with Dr. Mike Hutchins, Professor Emeritus from the University of Illinois. Hello, Mike.
Well, welcome to today's Feed Forum, and our topic will be an update on bird flu and certainly of interest to consumers and dairy farmers around the United States. Some of you remember back in January of 2024 in the southwestern part of the United States, we heard assertions of cows with high fever, declining rumination and dry matter intakes, which led to a reduction in milk production and an increase in mastitis. And then we have something called influenza A, which is termed here in the dairy cattle's H5N1 here in dairy cattle. And of course, this influenza will change a bit. And so we have other variants as well, known as B3 period 13, D1 period 1, and BIA. So certainly this is an on-farm problem here, and consumers read about this on the national news and radio as well. The good news is, unlike a poultry which have to be destroyed, these cows will recover in 2 to 3 weeks on the dairy farm, and it can affect anywhere from 5 to 25% of the herd as far as that goes. It can also spill out from dairy cattle to people, actually, swine and cats on the farm and in the area as well, and of course from birds we mentioned a bit earlier. It can spread by cattle movement. We saw that happening from Texas cattle going to Michigan. We also can see it in the milking process during the actual milking of the dairy cow at this point. Traffic on the farm could actually bring that to the farm, such as the milk hauler, veterinarian, feed salesman, and visitors. Birds, of course, are the big vectors. And the big three here in the U.S. are starlings, sparrows, and pigeons can really transmit it equally as well. California is the state that had the biggest hit. Basically, 747 herds in California. And for our listeners, California in the 2024 census had 995 herds. So you can see about three quarters of the herds were impacted there. In California, also 41 poultry facilities and 38 people became ill with that as well. Those people have a mild illness that they can recover from very easily. The other state that had the next highest number would be Colorado with 64 herds. The total in the United States is 972 herds, and just give you a feel how many of that compared to the census number of slightly more than 24,000 herds here in the U.S. as well. In California, it did have a marked effect on milk yield. Milk production went down 6 or 8% here in California and did have small impacts on pricing of milk. We also have programs available to dairy farmers. One is one called by the USDA called Secure Milk Supply Plan that gives guidelines to try to prevent exposure to it and if it happens on your farm, what you should be doing. Also available in the U.S. is a voluntary testing of milk to determine if you have it in your herd. There is some national bulk tank testing going on to get a feel of what states are being affected. Surprising to us, Bill, is that, believe it or not, Illinois and Wisconsin has not had a case as of today. But certainly our neighbors to the west of us, Iowa and Minnesota and Michigan have, as far as that goes as well. And there's also some development of a vaccination program. So our take-home message for today is, number one, pasteurization milk is safe. Be aware, listeners, that if you're drinking raw milk, there is a small risk there. Beef is safe, especially when you cook it properly, and on-farm tools are available for the people. Thanks. Have a great day.
Thanks, Mike. That's Dr. Mike Hutchins, Professor Emeritus from the University of Illinois, featured every Friday here on our Feed Forum Friday on Dairy Radio Now.
Producers who suffered qualified natural disaster-related crop losses in 2023 and 24 can still apply for assistance under USDA's Supplemental Disaster Relief Program.
We have made this process as easy as possible and streamlining the application. We mailed pre-filled applications using data already on file from the Non-Insured Disaster Assistance Program and from RMA, which has the crop insurance data.
Farm Production and Conservation Deputy Undersecretary Brooke Appleton says those who did not receive a pre-filled application can go to their local Farm Service Agency office to request this form. Stage 1 SDRP funding signups for indemnified producers began in July, with Stage 2 signups for eligible shallow or uncovered losses to begin sometime this fall. Additional details about the Supplemental Disaster Relief Program are available at www.fsa.usda.gov/resources/programs. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.